Tonight, I'd like to invite you over to the Gospel of John, chapter 17, verse 20. Gospel of John, chapter 17, verse 20. Gospel of John, chapter 17, verse 20 reads this way. It says, "Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they may all be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before your throne this evening, thanking you again for the privilege of gathering together in your house. Lord, opening up your word and knowing, Lord, that you are in our midst and that you desire to guide us into your truths. Lord, so we ask for the blessing of your Holy Spirit to guide our hearts and minds to hear from you. And that, Lord, that you would strengthen the faith that you've given to us and that we truly might grow in the grace and be empowered, Lord, by the Holy Spirit to be your witnesses. And we'll give you the praise for that. Bless and build Northwood, for we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message this evening is "The Lord's Will or Desire," you could take that either way, "for all believers, both present and future." The Lord's will, or we could say the word desire, for all believers, both present and the future also, right? So the Lord was talking to the disciples specifically here in this particular place, but obviously you saw there in verse 20, he says, "Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word." And so we've all believed through their word, and many other people have also, so we praise the Lord for that. And you know, God has a desire for mankind. Did you know that? God's desire is that all should be saved. That's his desire. Isn't that great? You know, listen, nobody will go to hell because God did not love them. Isn't that an amazing thought? God loved the world that he gave himself. He gave his son that we might have eternal life. So he's not willing that any should perish. If anybody winds up in hell, they have resisted and rejected the love of God. Because it was the love of God that reached out to sinful. We don't deserve it. And yet the grace of God has reached out and reached down to us and paid a wonderful price to give us eternal life. So tonight as we consider this, that's the first thing. That's where everything begins with, is salvation. But then God wants us to consider tonight. Let's look at tonight three experiential truths. That means we experience them. That God desires all believers to have and to grow in. The first one is the work of the word in sanctification. That's going to be the first one we'll notice here tonight. Then secondly, the testimony of being one with God. That's the next thing we'll take note of. And then the last thought will be beholding the glory of God. Do you know that God wants us to behold his glory? Not just at salvation, but he wants us to behold that many times and grow in beholding the glory of the Lord. And so we'll look at these three thoughts here tonight. Let me back you up here to verse 16. And let's look at the work of the word in sanctification. Now, when we consider the word sanctification, we know that that means to set apart, but it also has the idea to be set apart and to be holy for the honor and glory of the Lord. And that's the work that only he can do. So these are things that we've been given salvation, but these are the things that God wants to reveal to us, and not just know them up here, and not even to know them just in our heart, but to experience them in our lives. That is the key thing. See, Lord, you have made these promises for me to walk in. And so, Lord, I want to engage you in these things, that these things might be in my life. That's what he really wants the believer, because that changes our lives when we're experiencing that. The glory of God ought to change anybody's life. Amen? And you met the Lord Jesus Christ through salvation when he'd forgiven you for your sins. My goodness, wasn't that a great day? Let me try that again. Wasn't that a great day when you got saved and your sins were washed away and you had eternal life and all things became new, didn't they? Now all of a sudden you said, oh my goodness, there is eternal life, right? I know there's a hope to come. And so let's look at the work here of the word in sanctification. Verse 16 says this, "They are not," speaking of the disciples, "they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world." Then notice what the Lord says here, "Sanctify them through thy truth." Thy word is truth. Did you get that? That is the Lord's desire. He is asking God the Father for this to take place. So is this the will of God? Okay, so that's the will of God. And this takes place. Listen, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The word. Listen, you cannot separate the word of God and the work of God. They coincide. They are one and the same. If there's no word, there's no work. Amen? But we need to be careful that we don't forget about the work that God wants to do in our lives. Because we can get wrapped up in the word and not think anything about the work that God wants to do in our lives. And that makes for a dull Christianity. That makes for a not exciting... Listen, that makes for a sad testimony if the work of God is not taking place in our lives, that we might enjoy our salvation and that the world might be able to see the difference that God makes in our lives. So notice what he says. He says... there is a distinction. He says, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. But we're in the world, aren't we? And then he says this, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. It is important that we're in the word of God. It is important. Listen, it's good to hear good preaching, and especially at church, but more than just listening to sermons on the radio or wherever else, you know, there's all kinds of, what do they call those, podcasts and all this, that, and the other, but it's important for you and I to personally engage the Lord through his word. And the reason for that is because he will speak to us directly and do a work directly that he wants to perform in our lives. So notice this. Notice what he says. Verse 18. Remember, he says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Then he says in verse 18, as thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And we are part of the them. He is now specifically speaking to the disciples, but you're going to see that this is going to carry on to all those who would be in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so verse 19, as we look at this, we find here, so the Lord revealed this process as we consider that God sanctifies us through his truth, right? That's revealed. Then we find a continued process that God is doing. And he says again, verse 18, as thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. For their sakes, notice what he says, I sanctify myself that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Did you see that? This is a continual process. The Lord didn't say, well, I'm sanctified and that's it. No, did you see what he was saying there? He says, and for their sakes, I sanctify. Listen, the Lord is saying, I sanctify myself. What does that mean? He was setting himself apart from the world, and he was setting himself separated to be holy, to perform the will of God the Father. And the Lord is wanting the same thing to take place in our lives. And so we have to stop and say, okay, Lord. And by the way, remember this, the best part, it's the Lord's work. All we have to do is say, Lord, I see that, and I want to engage and acknowledge you and call upon you to fulfill this in my life. I don't want to just go through this world just to get along, to go through it. I want to be excited about the salvation that God has. God wants us to be on fire for him. God wants to set our souls on fire that the world might see around us that, listen, there's a hope beyond this world. Without us, they have no understanding of that. But God wants to give us his joy, and he wants to perform his work in our lives that they might see something different than what they have. Listen, it's important to be a verbal witness, but God wants us to be a physical witness of the work that he's doing in our lives. He is separating us. We are not just like the world. Amen? And so some people have this mentality. They have this kind of idea. Well, the Bible doesn't say you shouldn't smoke cigarettes or cigars or pipes or this, that, and the other. The Bible doesn't say, well, here's what's really important. Does it really honor and glorify the Lord? That's what we ought to be asking ourselves. The things that I do, are they a glory to the name of God, or are they a detriment? Do they enhance the salvation that God has given to me? Is it going to draw me closer, or is it going to be a reproach? You know what the world says. Three things Christians don't do. They don't cuss, they don't smoke, and they don't drink. Isn't that... and don't go with the girls that do. There's a fourth one. So that's important, right? We are different. We're not of the world. We're not the same. And so that wasn't my point, but we'll throw that in there for Brother Tom. All right. So this is a continuing process that takes place in the life of the believer. And here's the reason for sanctification. Watch this. Look at verse 20. Neither pray I for these alone. Remember the sanctifying work? Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. That's us. This is us. And so this is the Lord's desire and the Lord's will for the life of every believer to enjoy. Now, here's the wonderful thing. If it's God's will, we can pray and expect to receive. He wants to give it. And so, Lord, I want to communicate with you, and I want to listen. Does God already know what we stand in need of? Can God see our weaknesses? Can God see that without Him we have no power? But He still calls on us to ask Him. You know why? Because that requires faith. I'm asking you to give me what you've promised, God, and that requires that I believe the Lord in what He said. See, if I don't believe the word, if I think that's a pie in the sky somewhere to just dream about, we're never going to ask the Lord for those things. But if we believe the promise of God, that He wants to sanctify us, to use us for His honor and glory, He's going to perform that work if we'll call upon Him to do that. So this is the reason for sanctification. Now watch this. Look at the testimony we're going to notice of being one with the Lord here. It's a unifying work of sanctification that brings salvation to the world. Watch this. Look at verse 21. That they, these converts, right? Not just the disciples there, but those that are going to believe in the future. That they all, right? That's all. That they all may be what? One. Did you get that? That they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee. Do you believe the word of God tonight?
Amen.
All right. So this is a promise to us. That they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee. That they also may be one in us. Now what kind of way? Now listen. Are these saved people? That Jesus was talking to these disciples. Are they saved?
Yes.
Are we saved?
Yes.
Well, why in the world is He telling us? Are we not already in Christ?
Yes.
We are in Christ. But He's wanting us to be in Christ, listen, and in the Father as Jesus was in the Father and in the Godhead.
Yes.
And that was with the power of God. Because when that takes place, let's finish that verse and you'll see what's going on here. Let's look at verse 21 and put it all together again from the beginning. That they all may be one, that's all of us, as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us. Why? That the world may what? Believe that thou hast sent me. God, listen, God wants to be in you and I in such a way that the world believes that God the Father sent the Son to die for the sins of mankind and to change our lives, to change our destiny forever. That is the work of God. And listen, God is saying, I want to make that visible in the life of every believer. But God's got to do that. Now, that is a big load to carry if you think you got to do it. And I guarantee you, you'll never lift it. We can't. And by the way, isn't it better if the Lord carries it for us? We can walk through life without a sweat and God perform His mercy, His grace, His love that the world or us don't deserve. And yet the Lord is just pouring it into our lives. And the world is getting a load of this mercy and grace. And they're saying, I heard about Christianity, but my goodness, I am seeing this Christianity in your life. Do you think we will know where that's coming from when God does that?
Yeah.
Absolutely. But listen, do we have the faith, the trust to ask God to perform that in our lives? That's what it comes down to. It's yours, it's ours, it's ours. All we need to do is say, yes, Lord. Knock on that door, Lord. I'm knocking on your door to so that you'll perform that in my life. I think we would probably call that revival. God working in our lives in such a way that the world can see it. See, listen. Do you know, sirs, remember the Philippians? What must I do to be saved? How in the world did they were being persecuted. How in the world did that jailer know to go to those? They saw God in them. They saw the power of God, and he knew. And he's the only one that got saved, or did his whole family get saved? Because of Paul and Silas, or because of the Lord in Paul and Silas? Do you remember they were beaten, and they were singing at midnight in the dark? Because remember, Paul called for a light. Remember, get this. Do thyself no harm. And then he calls in for a light. How did he know that the jailer was getting ready to kill himself? The Lord was at work, and the Lord was revealing all these things and working through Paul and Silas. Does God want to work through our lives? Because if he doesn't, he has no witness. Did you get that? You and I are not going to convince anybody of anything unless the Spirit of God is working and flowing through our lives to touch their hearts and to work in their lives. And that comes from the Lord. And God is pleased. It's his will. It's his desire to bestow that in our lives. Amen. We just have to be willing to say, you know, Lord, I'm not really seeing it, I think, the way you're saying it. I'd like to see it in my life the way you're saying it here. And listen, we're approaching the Lord to perform what he's promised. We'll be blessed beyond measure. We'll see the work of God taking place, and we'll have something to praise God about. Amen? Amen? We'll have something to praise the Lord about. All right. So we find this unifying work, and again, this sanctifying work, this unifying sanctification brings salvation that the world may believe that thou hast sent me, is what verse 21 says. Then notice the given glory at the work in the life of the believer. Look at verse 22. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given who? That's us. He will give it. But listen, it's his. It'll always be his. And if we know that, then we know exactly. We will praise him all the time. Amen. And the glory, verse 22, which thou gavest me, I have given them. Why? That they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one. That's mator. Spiritually speaking, that is really being separated. That is the Lord delivering us so that we're not conquered by besetting sins, but that we won't be perfect, but that we won't be overtaken and seduced by the things of this world. You know, God can enable us to overcome the things of this world. We're still not perfect. But we don't have to be walking in sin. Listen, God will become so holy to us that we will say, you know what, the places I go and the things that I see with my eyes and the things that I listen to ought to always glorify the Lord. And the moment that doesn't happen, I'm out of there. I'm not going to just sit there and because we are vessels for the glory of God. And the Lord will give us an unction to do that. We will get so near to the grace and glory of the Lord, we won't want to exchange that for anything this old world has to offer. So again, notice what happens here. Verse 23, I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world, again, notice this, that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Amen. Did you see that? Read that slowly. The way the Lord wants to be in us and us in him is that we might be made perfect, spiritually speaking, how perfect, in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. There is a work that God will do that will let the world know. Amen. And by the way, we all came out of the world, didn't we? Somebody got our ear. Somebody got our heart. that the Lord used, and the Lord wants to do the same through your life and mine. Again, listen, we can approach leading people to Christ as something I've got to do. We're never going to do it. We're never going to do it. In fact, it's daunting and intimidating. But if God is doing a work that people can see, and then we can engage people, and we start all of a sudden seeing we start seeing the Lord changing our lives in such a way that the world is seeing that, and they start, what's different about you? Or whatever the engagement might be that we engage the world, and then we tell them about the Lord, and they start getting saved. You think you're going to be a little bit encouraged to start telling other people about the Lord Jesus Christ?
Right.
Amen? You know, does God want us to be excited about Him and telling people about the Lord? And He doesn't expect us to do it because it's a responsibility or a chore. He wants to work that through our lives.
Amen.
Him in us. So again, verse 23, I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Now, last few thoughts here. This is the glory, beholding the glory of God. And look at verse 24. Father, I will, this is Jesus, His will. I will that they also, whom Thou hast given me, be with me where I am.
Amen.
That they may behold my glory, which Thou hast given me. For Thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. That's the kind of love God wants us to see. On this side of eternity. Oh, righteous Father, this is our Savior pouring out His heart's desire to His Father. We have our Savior petitioning for us this wonderful blessing if we'll have it.
Amen.
Oh, righteous Father, the world hath not known Thee, but I have known Thee. And these have known that Thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them, verse 26, Thy name, and will declare it. Why? That the love wherewith Thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them.
Amen.
These are saved people, aren't they? But God is asking something more for them. God is asking something more for us. The question is, do we believe the Lord? And then are we willing to take it a step further and ask Him for it? That's God's will. For all believers, during the time of the Lord Jesus Christ and in our day and age. Wow. Would you stand? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before Your throne this evening, thanking You, Lord, for Your mercy, Your grace, and Lord, the work that You want to perform in our lives, the sanctifying work that changes our lives, that allows us, Lord, to behold Your glory in such a way that the world can see, Lord, the change that You bring and the love, Lord, and all the good things, Lord, that You want us to enjoy, that the world might see their need to know You as well. Lord, bless Northwood Baptist Church in a special way. May we call upon You to perform these things that You've prayed for, Lord, for us to have as your believers, Lord, as Your children. Bless as we break off for prayer, and we'll give You all the praise, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.